truth. You know, what's convicting about that is how God is faithful. Sometimes we're not as faithful as we need to be. And that's where He works in us. And we're here tonight looking forward to what God has for us in His Word. So if you'll find in your Bibles Acts chapter 10 and stand with me, we'll read our text tonight, Acts chapter 10. For our guest, we're pleased that you're with us tonight. We are going through the book of Acts in our study, and we find ourselves in chapter 10, starting in chapter 1, verse 1, verse by verse, not leaving anything out. And we're in chapter 10. Our text begins in verse 24. We're going to start reading in verse 23, and it takes us all the way to verse 35. So look at verse 23, Acts chapter 10, and we'll read to verse 35. Follow along as I read. The Bible says, "Then called he them in," this is Peter, "and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself also am a man.' Wouldn't let him worship him. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together." By the way, Peter walked into a Gentile's house. And maybe you just read over that and thought, well, that's not a big deal. Actually, it is a big deal. And Peter is a Jew, and there's Levitical law. There's a law that says, you are not to do this. And he just walked in. It says he went in. That's what it says. Verse 28. "And he said unto them, 'Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or to come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God.'" And we did, back when this initially happened, we said, God does give attention to our service to Him. He watches. He sees what we do. You might feel like no one sees, but God sees. In fact, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees. Verse 32, "Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter." And this is Cornelius reporting back to Peter what had happened. "He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I send unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that thou art commanded, or that are commanded thee of God." So in other words, we obeyed God, you obeyed God, and here we are, and here you are. You have a message, and we're ready to hear that message. So let's go. That's what he's saying. Verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth," it's a good start, "and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" We should all say amen to that. Amen. "But in every nation he hath fear that feareth him, he worketh righteousness, is accepted with him." So God wants to reach people. He wants to reach all people. And I'm excited about what God has for us tonight. Bow with me if you would. We'll get into this. Father, we pray your blessings. We need to hear from you tonight, so we pray for your help. And there's so many things that have a tendency to distract us from being open to the Word and to being open to what you want to do in us, to be not just receptive but obedient in faith. So God, would you help us tonight? I pray for an emptying of self. I pray for a filling of your Spirit. I pray that tonight you would be honored and glorified. And we trust that you're working. We give you all the glory and honor for what has happened tonight and for what will happen. We love you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Sometimes people can be petty in the things that frustrate them or offend them. We often see it with kids. I see it in my kids. So that they would fuss about things that are just little things. Like, who's going to sit in the front seat? My kids would get upset with each other about who's going to sit in the front seat. I called the front seat. I'm in the front seat. And then they would fuss about it and try to bring mom and dad into that. And, you know, I don't care who sits in the front seat. But they fuss about that. They'll come to us and they'll be upset. Like Brother David, you mentioned about the town that says, don't touch me. That they get frustrated because their siblings are touching them. I'm like, what do you mean they're touching you? They're just like poking me. They won't stop. Like, I mean, why do we do this? It's such a petty, silly thing to fuss about. The kids we were in Wisconsin. There was a river behind the house where we were staying, and the kids were fishing. And we had one fishing pole and like a whole bunch of kids, and they all wanted to go fishing. And so they were arguing about whose turn it was to have the fishing pole. And one kid was hogging the fishing pole, and he caught two fish, and I didn't catch any fish. And I'm thinking, let me have the fishing pole, and I'm going to throw it into the river. You know, it doesn't matter. We fuss about petty things. And that can happen in church. It can happen in church where people fuss about who gets to do this and who doesn't get to do this. You say, well, surely that doesn't happen. No, it does happen. So that people get upset about what people say and what people don't say. And so there's a fence there. And somebody's being utilized and somebody isn't being utilized. And why is it that they're the one who's the favorite and nobody cares about me? And we get upset. And there's a tendency for people to allow little things, or what we would view on the outside looking in as little things, and it feels like a big thing to you. But these things disturb and disrupt our spirit and affect us and cause us to not be effective in the work that God has for us. We have to see that. We have to see it this way. That there are petty things that come up in our spirit and offenses that come up in our spirit and cause us to be distracted and to miss what God wants to do in His church and through our lives. Peter could have been not just offended, but he could have held a grudge here against the Roman soldiers that are at his door. There could have been something that was in him that was harboring a kind of animosity against these men that God had told him to go with. God was speaking to him, I want you to go with these men. I have a mission. I have something that I want you to do in this. And I have something I want them to receive in this. And you might remember that Peter and the Jews in that day had not had good experience with the Romans. Many thousands and thousands had been crucified. They had been beaten. They had been persecuted. And there was not good relationship. And Peter even watched his Lord crucified before his eyes. And so there could have been a grudge that was harbored in him. But the Bible teaches that as God spoke to him and God was revealing things to him, that there was a door that was opening. And God wanted Peter to be open to this, to follow the Lord and move forward and not let these grudges hinder what God was going to do. And what a truth. Because Peter was willing to obey. Peter was willing to put these things aside and move in obedience to God. This is a great truth, a powerful truth. It says in verse 23, it says then called he them in. So Peter invited these Roman soldiers into his home. And then verse 24, on the morrow, they entered into Caesarea. So he not only invited them into his home, but he then went with them on the way to Caesarea to visit Cornelius. The Bible says in verse number 24 that Cornelius is waiting for them. In addition to Cornelius waiting for them, he has invited kinsmen, family, and near friends to his home because he knows God is going to do something. So he invites his family. He invites his friends. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. When God's working, do you know who we want to invite? When God is stirring and God is doing a work, do you know who comes to our heart? It's our family, yeah, and it's our friends. If you have been invited by a family member or a friend and that's why you're in church today, then you need to analyze what it is that God might be doing. That's what is happening in Cornelius's life here. So he's waiting for Peter. He knows that Peter has a message from God because God has stirred him and God has stirred in Peter. And now God is bringing these men together. He's bringing two totally different nations and societies together, breaking down walls in Jesus. It's amazing what's happening here. Peter was coming to Cornelius to meet him in verse 25. And the Bible says that Cornelius fell down at Peter's feet to worship him. Now, this would have been maybe for Cornelius and for any Roman a kind of normal thing to worship a man or see him as some kind of a god, because this was a cultural thing. This would have been a normal thing for someone who was raised like Cornelius was in the empire that he was raised in the pagan society that he was raised in. But Peter understood the truth about it, that there's only one God. There's not multiple gods. There's one. And only he is to be worshipped. So Peter says, stand up. I'm not the Lord. And he is only to be worshipped. Drawing the attention away from himself. The Bible then says, verse 27, we pointed out in our reading, but it needs to be pointed out again, that he went in. So he went into his home. He went into Cornelius' home because God had been working in him and revealing to him that God was doing a great work. By the way, God puts you in uncomfortable situations sometimes, but we move in obedience when we know that it's God that's moving us, when we know that it's God who's leading us. You say, well, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I'm uncomfortable. God routinely takes his people and puts them outside of their comfort zone to accomplish his work and his mission. It could be that God's working in your life and has been working in your life, and you're struggling with obedience to God because what he's doing in you is outside of something that you're comfortable with. He's not going to change his work in you because you're not comfortable with it. He's going to lead you in the way he wants you to go because he has a work he wants to accomplish through you. So Peter, the Bible says, he went in to Cornelius' home. He speaks of a law that would have hindered him from obeying this. And you might recall when God had sent that sheet down and there were clean and unclean animals, and God says, kill and eat. I want you, and by the way, the sheet came from heaven to say that the message is coming from God in heaven. I want you to kill and eat. Peter said to God, not so. You might, and I, we remember, we talked about this last time. Why would somebody say not so to God? Because what he's telling you to do, not only are you not comfortable with, you've never done it this way before, and it seems opposite of what God would have you to do in the past. And so Peter, reconciling with what God had led him to do, he walks into Cornelius' home knowing that God has something for him, but he doesn't fully understand. He doesn't know everything that God wants to do. Look at verse 29. An interesting thing is said here. An important, by the way, thing is said here. He said, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. That word gainsaying means contradiction. It's an amazing word. As a matter of fact, it's circled in my Bible because everything in the text behind it points to it, and everything after this word points back to it. Peter said, I did this, and I did it without gainsaying. Literally without contradiction in my soul. How can you do something that you're not comfortable with, but do it with a confidence? Do it without contradiction. There's only one way to do that.
Right.
Because you know you're doing what God wants you to do.
Yes.
Did you know when you obey God, He takes doubts away?
Right.
When you're obeying the Lord, He replaces doubt with confidence. And so that's what Peter's doing. He moved in something he'd never done before. He's in an uncomfortable situation, and he's doing it without gainsaying, with full confidence, knowing he's doing what God wants him to do. The last part of the verse, look what it says. It says, I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. So Peter, obeying the Lord, still doesn't know what this is all about. And so Cornelius begins to report back to him what God had been doing in Cornelius, exactly how it had happened, that God spoke to Cornelius and told Cornelius to send messengers to summons Peter and to bring him back. And the intent for all of this was to say, Peter has a message for you.
Yes.
Peter has something from you, or from me for you. This is amazing. God summons people to assemble into one place because he has a message for them. That's what we're doing tonight. We're summoned to this place so we can hear a message from God. By the way, can I say, do you know what confirms the message of God? It's not the man. It's not the confidence of the man. Anybody who preaches the Bible ought to do it with confidence because it's not his word, it's God's word. But here's what, it's not even the confidence of the man that brings confirmation from of the word. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of God's people, in the hearts of mankind. And he is without respect of persons. In other words, there's no one person in this world that God doesn't love and that he won't speak to them. So we assemble ourselves in this place to hear a message from a man delivering a message from God in obedience to God, doing it with confidence so that we all might hear from God. It's amazing. And how do we know? Because he speaks to our heart. It's called conviction. He confirms it in us. And that's how we know that he's working in us. Conviction. Two people this morning, after Sunday school, two individual, separate people, one person came to me and said, right after the lesson, said, "Pastor, that message was for me." And I have to be honest with you, I wasn't thinking about that person when I wrote that Sunday school lesson. And they said, "No, that message, you were talking directly to me." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord, because he was working." Then I walked a couple more feet and shook somebody else's hand, and they said, "Pastor, that Sunday school lesson was just for me." Amen. And I thought, that's crazy. Somebody else just now said that. Now you're saying it was just for you. Do you know how amazing it is that we can all hear the same message and that same message delivered to all of us, but yet it's for all of us individually?
Right.
So that when you're listening and God is working, you can say with confidence, that message was for me. And so, Cornelius, he's excited to hear from God. Peter is in obedience to God. He's stirred up about it. He's not for sure what God is calling him to do, but he knows it's God who's calling him. So he's going without gainsaying. He's not disrupted in his spirit. He's full of confidence. There's no contradiction in his soul. He goes to deliver whatever it is that God has him to deliver. Cornelius is waiting, and he's excited. The Bible says he's waiting. I mean, he's excited. How excited was he? He invited his family and his friends.
Yeah.
And he's excited for them to hear the message too.
Amen.
Because whatever it is that God's doing, this is big. And I want as many people to hear this as I can. Peter hears that. And he sees all of the people. And he said, "Of a truth, God is no respecter of persons." In the sense that Peter is saying that God will speak to everyone. And he wants to speak to everyone. He wants to touch hearts. He wants to reconcile man to or mankind back to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Peter, he prepares himself to receive the message. And you know what really anchors all of these verses together? As I said just a little bit ago, that Peter did this without gainsaying. There was no contradiction in his soul. Literally, as to say, there was no grudge that was being held between him and the Gentiles that God was sending them to. Did you hear me? There was no grudge. Peter, a Jew, persecuted, family persecuted, nation persecuted, murdered, the Savior murdered, and God reconciling mankind through the message of the gospel, wanting to use Peter to deliver that message to the very ones who persecuted. And Peter says, "I'm going to obey God. And listen, don't miss this. I'm going to do it without gainsaying."
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of somebody? What this story reminds me of is what happens in Christians' lives and what often hinders the work of the gospel in churches. You know what it is? It's offenses. What often hinders the work of God in churches is when two people have ought against each other and there's an offense, so that there's friction between you and somebody else. That hinders what God wants to do. It reminds me, I talked about Stephen in my Sunday school lesson. I talked about Stephen in my morning sermon. So I thought, well, let's just talk about Stephen tonight. Amen. You know, Stephen preached the gospel, and then the hearers of the gospel were the Jews that were present there, and they were loving the history lesson that he was given. They were a little disturbed when he said that they had killed the prophets. They'd murdered the prophets all the way up to their very own Messiah, and they murdered him. And whenever they got to they loved the message until the conclusion. When Stephen said, "And your very own Messiah, you murdered him," the Bible says this, that they were no longer pleased with the message, but watch, they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart, it means they were cut deep. They were deeply offended by the message. And in that offense, the Bible says they grinded their teeth literally. They gnashed on him with their teeth, literally to say grinding their teeth at him. And they rushed on him and they captured him and they stoned him to death. Offenses hinder the work of God. And offenses happen in the ministry. There's a lady that recently I heard about, a friend, not here. I should probably say that, not here, but a friend that I was visiting with, a pastor friend, who said that a lady unfortunately left the church, and he met with her and he said, you know, what is it? Is there anything that we can get reconciled? And she says, "Well, you preach too long." And he said, "So you're going to leave the church and you're going to go to a church that doesn't preach the truth? And you're going to do that because I preach too long?" And she said, "Yep." And he said, I don't really know what to say about this." And she left. And this is kind of a definition of a petty offense.
Yes. Definitely.
There are people that get upset because it's too loud. And it's too loud. There are also people who get upset because it's not loud enough. There are some of you, you're cold right now. There's some of you, you're like, it's hot in here. You know? There are sometimes people get upset because they're not being used enough. And then there are sometimes people get upset because they're being overused. What I'm saying is, it doesn't really matter where we are right now. There are times when there are offenses that come, and petty offenses that come into our lives and into the ministry that cause a kind of friction and disrupt what God wants to do. Petty offenses. There was another lady that I ministered to years ago, and we were talking about forgiveness. And as we were talking about it, she said this to me. She said, "I forgive people, but I'll never forget." I said, "So you'll forgive people, but you'll never forget?" She says, "Yeah. I forgive, but I'll never forget about it." So, in other words, if you lose trust with her, then you'll never get that trust back. That's basically what she was saying. And you know, really, that's the opposite of the way we ought to be as Christians. So that maybe there's an offense, and there obviously needs to be a reconciliation that takes place, and there needs to be a forgiveness that takes place, but there also needs to be a kind of forgetfulness associated to that forgiveness. And petty offenses cause friction and disrupt what God wants to do. So the scripture says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. And then it says this, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so there's a kind of kindness that God works in us when we're willing to forgive. But you know, we can't forgive in our own strength or in our own power. We forgive because we're forgiven. And so a forgiveness comes from Christ. We're kind one to another, tenderhearted. Then it says forgiving one another. We're willing to forgive, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so it's built on the forgiveness that we have received from Christ. And you know what's amazing is offenses can go away. And the grudges, they can go away if we'll let God work forgiveness in our soul. Did you hear me? The grudges, they can go away. And the pettiness, offenses, they can go away if we'll let God's forgiveness work in our soul.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said, if you're offended, you need to go to your brother. You need to go to the one whom is offended. Amen. Think about this. He says, if you have brought your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has aught against you, you need to leave your gift at the altar and you need to go to your brother and you need to listen to this word. Jesus said this, reconcile. After you reconcile, then you come back and offer your gift.
Right.
So you know what Jesus is teaching is when there's an offense, what needs to take place is reconciliation. There needs to be a reconciliation. You know what doesn't need to happen? Pettiness. So that we harbor it in us. We won't let it go. It just stays. And it sort of festers in us. And every time we think of that person, there it is again. Why? Because it's in you like a gangrene. It just sort of grows in you and it makes you bitter. It makes you, it kind of transfers itself to a pruny kind of face when you think of them. Because there's an unforgiveness in you. And it reveals it. Watch, it reveals itself in pettiness.
Yes.
And what God is teaching on us in His Word is if pettiness goes away, then God is revealed to the nations.
Amen.
He works through us. When offenses are dealt with and pettiness is gone, we mature to a place where we're willing to leave our gift and go to the one, the brother who's offended, and let's get it right. Did you know, it's usually pretty obvious when there's friction between you and somebody. I mean, usually. Husbands, we know. We ask her, what's wrong? She's like, nothing. Whew, I thought something was wrong. I'm glad you told me nothing. Yeah, we know. There's something wrong. Like, oh well, I'm just going to go on with my day. She'll get over it. Maybe we should make effort to reconcile.
Yeah.
You know? Might need to wait a couple hours, depending on what it is, but here's what God's saying. Don't just scoot stuff under the rug.
Yeah.
Don't just go around and act like everything's fine, but you're harboring grudges and bitterness in your soul.
That's right.
Because the way it reveals itself is pettiness. You are upset about, in the eyes of God, little things. And do you know what those little things can do? It's too loud in here. Do you know what those little things can do? They can explode into big things. Because you complain to this person, and you complain to that person, and you complain to this person, and there's kind of a rumbling. You know in the Bible there's a word for that? It's called murmuring.
Yeah, right.
There's a murmuring, a kind of deep rumbling that takes place in the house of God, in the church of God's people, when there's pettiness that's revealing itself because of offenses and frustrations and things that are upset, things that we need to reconcile, things that we need to go to them and get it right. So how do we do that, Pastor? Well, don't get to that yet. You're getting ahead of me. There's actually one more thing I want to talk to you about before we see what God wants us to do to deal with this. Sometimes it's not offenses where we need to leave our gift at the altar and go to somebody that we know we've offended. Sometimes we need to do that. But you know, sometimes it's on the other side of that coin. When somebody has offended us, and we're stirred up about it. I mean, we're genuinely upset about what somebody has said or done. And God says, you know what? It would be wise if you don't just scoot that under the rug too. Like, well, you know, I'm just going to get over it. You know, sometimes you're not just going to get over it.
Right.
Because what will happen is you'll say you're going to get over it, But you're like the person I talk to, you don't forget about it. Why? Because what you need to do is you need to go to them. And you need to say something like this. I know that there's something between us. And you know what I would like to do? Ooh, I hope you're taking notes, those of us who need this tonight. Here's what you need to do. I'm going to write it down for you on my hand. Here we go. Here's what you need to do. You need to go to them and you need to say something like this. There's something between us. And you know what I want to do? I want to get it reconciled. Can we get this right tonight? There's something between you and me, and we both know it. Can we get it right tonight? You know what happens when we just decide that we'll leave our gift and go get right with somebody we offended? And then when we just decide we're going to go to somebody that has offended us, so there's no excuse on either side of it, that forgiveness sort of starts raining in us because there's reconciliation. And guess what goes away? All the petty things go away. Yes. So we'll say, you know, I'm excited about what God's doing. I mean, Western Hills Baptist Church, it's fire here. Brother Chuck, great testimony tonight. He said, you know, I came into services tonight, or I believe this morning, came to services this morning, and you can just sense the Spirit of God. Yeah. Just before service even began, just in the fellowship. You know, we need God to use Western Hills. We desire that, and we need God to use Western Hills Baptist Church to work in our community, to work in our families, to work in the lives of our friends. Yeah. To do that, we got to get over some stuff. You got to get past some stuff. We're being hindered by some things. So what's the answer then? Now we're ready. The answer is in Cornelius and in Peter. I'm just going to tell you what these men did. Number one, Cornelius was open. God came to him and Cornelius said, I'm open to hear the message. Do you want to see pettiness go away, forgiveness reign in your soul? Are you open tonight to receive the message from God? To acknowledge that maybe you're having some offense in you, some bitterness in you, and there's some reconciliation that needs to take place between you and somebody else. Are you open to admit that tonight? If we're going to move forward, if we're going to see some of these kinds of things overcome in the ministry and in the work of God to move forward, then what we're going to need to do is we're going to need to be open to the message of God tonight. Cornelius was open. And then secondly, it was Peter. You know what Peter was? He was humble. Peter was not comfortable with going into this Gentile's home. But you know what he was? He was humble. Yes. To say, whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. Yeah. I'll obey him because I know without gainsaying, no contradiction in my soul, this is what God wants. Amen. And it's clear what God wants. He wants you to go to them and get it right. He said it. Leave your gift. Go get it right. If there's offense, if you've hurt them, go get it right. If they've hurt you, go get it right. Pettiness will go away. Because we're open and humble. And then what happens is you have, I love this. This is our end. We're right here at the end. We're about to land this thing. But we have family and friends that are sitting here tonight. Why? Because forgiveness reigns. Yes. Pettiness is gone. I just can't wait for my friends and my family to hear this message.
Amen. Good.
I mean, we're here. We're ready to hear the message. Just to preach it. Just preach it. Watch God do a great work at Western Hills Baptist Church. Listen to me. We're going to watch God do a great... We are watching it, by the way. But I'm going to say it like this. We're going to watch God do a great work in Glendale, Arizona at Western Hills Baptist Church.
Yes.
When the pettiness goes away. It's going to happen. It's already happening for some. But whenever it's church-wide, you watch out. The pews will be exploding with your family and with your friends.
Good.
Amen. Father, we love you tonight. Blessing to be in your house, to hear your word, to be touched by the work of the Spirit, Lord. And we know that when we deliver your message, you work in us.
Yes.
And it might be tonight that there are some who are struggling with forgiveness tonight. There might be some who are struggling because of offenses. And to them, it doesn't feel petty, small, it feels big. But the answer is still the same. Openness and humility to obey, to do what you'd have them to do, to go and get it right. And then, Lord, we'll watch you just remove all of the other peripherals that distract. We're excited about what you're doing. We look forward to what you're going to do. I pray your work in our souls tonight. For those that need to be saved, God, would you bring conviction? Help them to see their need of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, please. We'll give you glory for your gospel, for your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. God's work in your heart, the altar.